Are you glad to be here this evening?
Yeah,
I'm glad to be here as well. I always got to take 5 seconds after I get out of the drum cage to shake it all off and get reset. I was telling somebody that earlier. So, well, I'm excited to be here this evening with you. I'm glad you are able to be with us and thankful that you're here to worship with us. You chose this place to be here, your house tonight, to just come and lift up the name of Jesus. So I'm excited to deliver a word. If you haven't been here, we've been fasting and praying every Wednesday for the month of January, and we've been having some really good prayer sessions. So we've been really going after the presence of God, and I'm expecting, believing God's going to do some great things. You know, not only in the church, but in the nation, and just getting our hearts ready for if he should come back. You know, that's the ultimate goal, that we all want to make it to heaven. So we turn our text this evening to John chapter 6, verse 35, and we open with this evening. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Let's pray. Father, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your living word. Lord, I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for a time such as this. Lord, I thank you for your presence and how you're still speaking to your church today. You're still moving in their midst. And Lord, you are enough. And Lord, we have nothing to fear. And we can be excited for the days ahead. And so we expect you. We expect you to show up. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just take over. I yield to you. Lord, let them hear you. May I decrease so that you can increase tonight. And Lord, we thank you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited to bring this message tonight. I actually have been sitting on this message since Sunday service. Lord quickened a word in me, and I've been kind of sitting on it, and so I'm excited to release it tonight. And so before I get into the context of the message tonight, I just wanted to open up with a quick little conversation. I met with somebody earlier this week, and we just had a real good conversation, and it kind of just reaffirmed on what I was going to talk about tonight. And I met a gentleman, and I got to know him, and he was talking about his fitness journey and everything that he's been doing to lose weight and all the good things that we should be doing as good Christians and all those wonderful things. And he was telling me, I've been disciplined. I've been doing all the things that I need to do to lose weight. I fast every day. I eat one meal a day. And he went on to detail on what he was doing. But he says, "I'm plateaued now. You know, I've lost a lot of weight, and I'm doing really, really good." And he kind of says, "I'm plateaued now." And I said, "Well, you know, sometimes you need a little more. You need to feed yourself. You need to give yourself some more nutrients, because you can plateau, you can do all the things that you know to do, but then sometimes somebody comes along and just gives you a word, and it just kind of opens the light. And so you need to feed yourself, because now you need a little more substance to sustain your workouts. So now that you are in a place to grow, because if you deplete yourself, if you do all the things that you know to do, you get tired, and you know your workouts aren't as good." You know, eating one meal a day is good when you're trying to lose weight, but then your body gets kind of used to the same old, same old. It knows what you're doing. It knows what you're doing. And so it was a really good conversation. I said, "Well, you need to add this into your diet and add this, and I bet you'll see a change in your workout, and you'll begin to grow." So if you haven't caught on yet, I'm going to be talking about spiritual food tonight and hungry. I think the Lord is, well, I know he is. He's doing something, and we need to embrace what he's doing. And so I want to ask the question, is anybody hungry for God's presence? Amen. I'm hungry too. Do I got any bread eaters in here? There ain't no shame in here. Bread eaters? That's one food that'll fill you up quick, isn't it? Bread will fill you up quick. Jesus made an analogy, "I am the bread of life." We need to go after him. I feel like maybe we've been plateaued for a little bit. And I believe God is saying, I've made the way and I'm showing you the way, but you got to accept it and you got to come after me. I want to take you to a new place. I want you to receive what I have for you. And so our context is we're going to look at a very familiar passage tonight. It's Jesus feeds the 5,000. It's John chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And we're going to read. Sometimes after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. It's interesting that this whole month we've been in the Gospel of John, we've been circulating the Gospel of John a lot, and we've been taking a lot of passages out of John. I've been noticing that through Pastor Lowell, through Pastor Peter, all the things. I'm like, man, I think God's trying to tell us something. And we know the Gospel of John's a little bit different from the other Gospels. It's a little more symbolic, a little more revelations, things in it. And so when we look at this passage, it says a great crowd came coming towards him. He only asked Philip to test him. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. I want to tell you tonight that when I look in the world's hungry. And I see all the violence, all the things that are going on. Where are the churches? What's going on? I want to tell you tonight, you need to get ready and you need to get prepared. Because the crowds are coming. They are looking for something that's real. I think this nation and this generation that's coming up, they're scared. They're scared. And they want something that's real and tangible. They want the presence of God. There is a generation that is hungry and is coming after him. They want some real substance. They want some real bread. And Jesus, he used that analogy. I am the bread of life. I'm the only thing that's going to sustain you. And tonight I know that there are people coming. There's young people coming. And so we're going to get into this a little bit tonight. We know that Jesus was testing Philip's faith. Will you work in your own strength or believe I can perform this miracle? It's amazing that Jesus was testing one of his disciples. Jesus already had the plan in place. He says, I already know how I'm going to take care of the masses. He's like, I just wanted to see what Philip was going to say. I just wanted to see what he was going to do. Much like with us and our journey and where we've been, there is already a plan in place. Jesus already has the plan in place. We know that testing produces a lot of refining. I wish I didn't have to go through testing, but we know that testing develops our character. It keeps us grounded. It keeps us steadfast. It keeps us pursuing God. That's what testing does. Testing only endures for a little while. We know that's what the scriptures tell us, right? There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. When I look out tonight already, Wednesday night, there's people here tonight that haven't been here in a while. The church is a little more full than it usually is on Wednesday night. God is doing something, and I believe he's preparing us for it. When God goes to ask me a question, I want to pass the test. He goes on to say, Philip answered him, and it would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? We can see doubt was trying to set in. Much like in our spiritual life. We got mountains in front of us. We got obstacles we're trying to get through, we're trying to see. Questions arise. We get around people, questions arise. And I'll be honest with you, in the world and even in the church world, sometimes they are not the most encouraging people sometimes. That's just fact. That's just the truth. If we're not careful, we can allow doubt to set in instead of build and encourage one another up like what the church is called to do. Hebrews 3:13 on that banner right there says, encourage one another daily. We should be encouraging one another. We should be expecting, believing God is going to show up and he's going to be in the midst of his people. He's going to fill us up and he's going to use us. And I believe God is preparing our hearts for that. Doubt was in his mind. He said, you know, how are we going to do that? Well, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. And they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those who were seated as much as they wanted. I'm going to pause there. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. Tonight, my heart's prayer is that people would fill up. God, people would experience God's presence. The people that are slipping in through the doors and into the cracks, that sit in the back rows, that go unnoticed, that go unseen, that they would come and find what they're looking for, and that they would leave filled up. I think people are still leaving, and they would say, people will say, well, that's on you, or you get what you put into it, right? It's all about your experience. You get what you put into it, and there is some truth into that. But Jesus took time. The first thing he did was he gave thanks for the provision. Tonight I want to give thanks for the provision for the people that are coming, for the harvest that is coming. I want to say thank you, Lord. I want you to prepare my heart. I want you to get me ready. Lord, I ask that you would begin to put people in positions. Lord, that you would put desires on people's hearts for prayers, intercessors, prayer warriors. Begin to position people where they need to be. Lord, may they hunger and thirst after you, because I'm trying to tell you that they're coming. Churches are going to be filled up. I'm not saying I'm a prophet or I'm anything like that. I'm just saying that I believe there is a hunger and a desire after God's presence. Jesus reassured them that there was plenty of time and space for the crowd. Jesus made sure they were full before they left. I want to be able to come in and seek after God and be able to not feel that I got to get out of here as soon as I can, that everything is rushed. Sometimes when I'm praying and fasting, sometimes I come into praying and fasting and it's like, man, Lord, you're speaking right to me. It's like I'm in there 5 minutes and it's like, man, he's just downloading things to me. He's talking to me. I'm like, this is wonderful. And then there's sometimes I come in there, it may take a half hour, an hour, and then he may just begin to quicken something in me. Or I may just be, I've sat on a church chair and just sat there, and then all of a sudden I would just begin to just kind of weep and cry because I could just feel the presence of him sitting there on me. And he's not even saying anything. He's not even saying anything. He's just there. I can feel him. I guess without me beating around the bush, really what I'm trying to say is we need to stop rushing. We need to stop rushing. We need to stop being in a spirit of anxiousness, feeling we need to do this, get this in place, do all the things. We just need to go after the presence of God. We need to slow down. And if this is a word for anybody tonight, I just want to say this to somebody. We are doing okay. We are doing good. This is a good place to be. This is a good church to be. God is still moving. You cannot stop. You know, you cannot stop God's will. No man has that authority or power to stop the church. Ever. Ever. He will never stop the church. God does a little rearranging every once in a while. But you will never stop what God wants to do and accomplish. So for anybody who would ever think of that, I would just pray for you and encourage you to read your Bible more and read the back of the book. Read the back of the book. When they had all eaten enough, he said to his disciple, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples set off to the other side of the lake towards Capernaum, where Jesus would perform another miracle, where he would walk on water. And this is where we go into the next portion of John chapter 6, where he goes on to describe himself and uses that analogy as the bread of life. It says, "When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?' Jesus answered, 'Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval.'" We chase after God because he can fill us. Our witness and our testimonies and the things that God has supplied to the church and the gifts, all those things, those all are, should be testimonies. They should point back to Jesus. Everything is called to glorify him and point people back to Jesus that they may experience him for who he is. He never left the church unarmed. He gave us these things to use to be witnesses. But here in this context, Jesus is saying, you didn't seek me because all the things that I can do. You seek me as an individuals. You seek me as individuals that you may be filled up. That you may be filled up. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" I want to encourage you tonight, anybody, any generation, my dad, my grandfather, it doesn't matter what generation you lived, when you were born, the same God that is yesterday is the same God that's today and is the same God forever, and he's still supplying bread for every single generation that they may know him, come to be filled up by him, may experience him, and may be used by him to further the kingdom of God. The same thing that he did for your grandfather, the same thing that he did for your father, your aunts, your uncles, is the same thing that I can experience, that I can be filled up. It may be just going off script, but maybe I feel like maybe, and this may be personal experience, I don't know, but I feel like there's a generation out there that just feels like, I'm not going to be able to obtain that. That's not for me. Or I'm doing something wrong. I don't know how to go after the presence of God. Or there's this condemnation or something like that. I don't know how to experience that. God is just looking for a pure vessel. God is just looking for a pure vessel. That same spiritual food that God gave them is available to us today. Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who was given the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes from heaven and gives life to the world." Bread has nutrients, it supplies, it sustains. And if you didn't know this, good, real bread that's got all the goodness in it that's not been sifted. Did you know bread strengthens your heart? That's what it does. Bread strengthens your heart. God's word strengthens my heart. Jesus sustains me and he strengthens me to get up every day to continue on what he's called me to do, what he's called you to do, and what he's called you to do, and what he's called you to do. There are seasons when God talks to you, and then there are seasons when he talks to you through the word. God is going to be a communicator. He's not going to leave you abandoned, but there are different times that he talks to you in different ways. For the most part, he talks to you through the word. I can tell you right now, this is a church that values the word of God. I knew that the first month I was here. Within a couple weeks, I was like, these people love the word of God, and they preach the whole Bible, and there is nothing to be ashamed of that. And there's people looking for that. They want the preaching of the word. They want to experience the presence of God. They want to be in the altars. They want to know there's people that know how to pray. They want to know there's people that know how to intercede for them. They want to know that they, when they come in, that God is going to see them. People are hungry. So in between the bread of life and that passage of scripture and the feeding of 5,000, there was a miracle that took place. It was Jesus walked on water. So all those events took place in that portion of scripture there in chapter 6. But when we get down towards the end, this is where we really want to look at tonight. It says many disciples desert Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 60 and 66. Oh, hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Meaning Jesus is trying to say, I am doing something different that you're not used to. I am a new covenant. I am a better way. I'm showing you the way. You're going to have to believe me, trust in me. You're going to have to throw away customs, some traditions, and you're going to have to put your faith in me because I'm doing a new thing. And it says in that passage of scripture, it says that it was a hard teaching. They couldn't accept it. He heard them grumbling about this. Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, that you are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him." My prayer tonight is, Lord, help us to recognize and respond to what you are doing. I'm ready for more. I hope you are too. I am ready to experience what God has for the future. And I know he's going to do it. And when he begins to do it, and when people start coming, I want to be able to recognize when it's taking place. And I want to respond appropriately. I don't want to be a hindrance to what God wants to do. I don't. This is a hard thing to accept. It's a hard thing to accept, he says. And it says that many left. many left. And then he goes on to say that to his 12, are you going to go? Are you going to stay? Do you want to leave too? Do you? Asked Jesus. Simon Peter answered, and I'm preaching to everybody, and I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to people that are, I'm preaching to the entire church as a generation. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's nowhere to go but up. I want to follow him. I want to serve him with my full capacity. I didn't leave to just come be comfortable. I didn't leave my home to come be comfortable. I left to come do the hard things. I always have, and I will continue to do that. Jesus spoke to a familiar woman about food, and he says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish this work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and a harvest, a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus saying, one sows, another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and have reaped the benefits of the labor. I want to say to the people that have put blood, sweat, and tears and sacrifice to staying committed to serving Jesus and to the ministry and believing and expecting God is going to still continue to do something in a generation, I want to say thank you for that. But now is a time of reaping. Now is a time of reaping. As I close, I'm not actually closing, but I close with this. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need every ounce of his spirit. We need every ounce of his word. We need every ounce of his fellowship. We need every ounce of being around believers. We need all of it to sustain what he wants to do. And I want to just say this. God still is speaking to the church, and he's still sending servants, and he's still sending messengers to wake and shake the church up. If all I am is just a messenger, I'm okay with that. Drop your pride. Let God do what he wants to do. Go after him. Don't look back. Press forward. Accept what he's saying. Know that good things are ahead. God is going to fill his church up. God is going to do wonderful things. God is going to change some things. And that's okay. That's okay. And I hope you're looking forward to that as much as I am. I wanted to share something with you as we get ready to go into prayer. I debated and I tossed it back and forth whether or not I should really share it or not, but it's just a kind of a word that the Lord had shared with me in prayer time today, Wednesday. It says, this is what the Lord says. I'm disarming the weapons of the enemy. I'm dismantling spiritual powers and authorities. And I'm tearing down strongholds and walls. And he brought up the passage when Jesus walked on the water to me. But he said to them, it is I, don't be afraid. Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. When the disciples finally stopped worrying and accepted him, they immediately got to where they were going. That's all he's saying. That's all he wants to do. Accept what God wants to do so we can get where we're going. And I love how it says it immediately. The scripture says immediately they got to where they were going. They were on the other side. I think sometimes in our own personal lives, in our church lives, in our work lives, we're hanging on to things for dear life and we don't want to let them go. Jesus said, let it go. Just let it go. Let it go. And watch. Watch what I'm going to do. And you'll be on the other side immediately. So tonight is, accept what the Lord wants to do, whether that be in your own personal life, in your church life, in your work life. Let him rearrange your heart. Let him pull back a few of those layers again. And let's go after God, and let's see what he's going to do. I hope that wasn't too hard of a message. I hope that's encouraging to you. It was encouraging for me, because I know God's still speaking. There are brighter days ahead. I love you, and I appreciate you, and I love being here, and I love sharing God's word. But God is still sending people, and he's still speaking to his church. And I know that's what he's asked me to do. You know what, as I've begun to spend a little more time in my walk with the Lord, and the longer I spend in doing ministry and those things, I begin to realize, how many have you, let me just ask you a question, those who've spent time doing ministry and doing things for a really long time, serving God your whole life, can you look back now and see exactly how God was using you and shaping you and how he was calling you and how, what your ministry looked like? Or am I just the only one? Is there anybody there that can look back and see your divine purpose? I'm starting to understand now for a time such as this. So we're going to open up these altars. We got plenty of time. It's 7:51. I do that on purpose. I cut it 10 minutes early last time. We're going to fill these altars up, and we're not going to be in a rush. There's plenty of grass, and I want to make sure everybody leaves full tonight. Go after that bread. Go after Jesus. Let him speak a new word into you. Let's get filled back up. Let's get fired back up. We need the church strong. And I believe, I have met a lot of people since I've been here. A lot of people spoken things into me and words to me. This city is a very strategic city for this state. I'm very careful and cautious with that. I like to sit back and observe and listen and watch. But I'm going to tell you something. I am going off script now. We're going to get in the altars, I promise. But now I'm going off script. I don't know if any of you all watch what happens in our state capitol and all the different pagan and heathen worship and rituals and the yoga classes and the sound bath classes and all the things that they're putting in there. That is a battleground for our state. That is a battleground. And if we're going to do what God has called us to do, we got to be prayed up, fasted up. We got to be actually serious again. We got to go after the presence of God. We got to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We got to be assigned to the unbelievers with the evidence of speaking in tongue. We got to be supplied with every gift that God has supplied the church, because they're weapons. And they're for the church, and they're for other people, and they're for the testimony, and they're for the witness of Jesus Christ. It's there to see souls saved. I know people get weirded out about that stuff. You may not believe in it. That's fine. But everything that Jesus Christ supplied for the church is to point back to him. That's what it's for. It's not for you. It's to get people saved.